Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. No dog in the fight, but it is Super Bowl week, so I'm doing good.
No dog in the fight, but Cat Farm 2021. I know Full Press Fantasy Pod inside joke, but Braden Holacek is part of that. So how you doing, Braden?
I'm doing really good. It's like Jesse said, just happy that we got to this point with the season that we weren't sure what it was going to look like with COVID. So yeah, it's just great to get to this point officially.
You know, at this point, we're also going to bring on not only the main proprietor of Full Press Coverage, the founder, editor-in-chief, and Full Press Coverage Buccaneers managing editor, has his own cat farm. I mean, how many do you have there, Ian Glendon? About four cats?
Yeah, that's right on the money. And I don't know all the details about Cat Farm, but I support it 110%.
Assuming to all our listeners who are listening to this is to hear some Super Bowl talk. Yeah, I know. Packers aren't in it. And doesn't mean we weren't going to talk Super Bowl, as obviously we're here. So Jesse already mentioned it. We Packers are out of it. They were close, painfully close. Not in it. So I guess, Jesse, just quick, what are your quick expectations for this game?
Obviously a good game, right? Like, you know, I think the Chiefs are the up-and-coming young team. But I shouldn't say up-and-coming. They won last year. But, I mean, you never count out Brady, right? And Brady's got weapons, and they're hot right now. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I don't know. Don't ask my opinion on it, because it's going to be a good one.
Well, let's get the expert opinion here. So, quarterback versus quarterback. Ian, I know you love to talk quarterback, so let's get it out of the way. What do you want to say?
I'm looking forward to a very good match between two very good signals. No, look, I'm excited to see this. And there's one thing I've lived by for the last 20 years, and it's I never bet against Tom Brady. Doesn't always work out, but more often than not, it generally favors Tom. And I know a lot of focus, obviously, in the last game is on the three interceptions. But on a whole, him and the offense, and in particular, the defense has been playing very well. I mean, talk about a team that's hit their stride at the right time. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, Brady's got a lot to do with it. But at the same time, you look at the other side of the field, you have Patrick Mahomes. So I think there's a lot of narratives that are dominating storylines and talking shows this past week and a half that are a bit misguided when the reality is you have the two best quarterbacks in the NFL in the Super Bowl against each other. And for the first time ever, two quarterbacks that won the previous two Super Bowls. So I think those are the things that you should be focusing on, not on, you know, all-time career arguments. We're not at that point yet. Right now, we're talking about a great game between two great quarterbacks.
But while you're saying that, I am going to talk some all-time stuff anyway. Although I know what Jesse wants to say first, because I think he has something to say about what you had to say there, Ian.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears.
Oh, did I? What was I going to say? Because I was actually going to deflect that and say actually all-time great and great offenses going on right now, right? If I'm going to say anything, if you look at these pass catchers with both of these teams, they are the elite of the elite. It's awesome. And kind of what Ian was saying about the defense hitting its stride, Tampa Bay is hot right now on defense. I really want to say that someone's going to make a play on defense to win this game, because the offenses and the weapons that they have, it's going to be crazy, right? So I think it's going to be something on defense that's going to decide this football. I think you were kind of saying about, you know, best quarterbacks, whatever. I'm not even going to talk about that. It doesn't matter.
Okay, I just wanted to give you the chance.
I mean, no disrespect to Aaron Rodgers.
I know you do.
You know, look, I he's going to win the MVP and 100% deserved. This isn't a knock on his individual season. Anyone who's ever listened to me knows I have a very different than normal take on the best quarterback in the game versus who wins the MVP and all that stuff. So that's my opinion. But I love Aaron Rodgers. I really do. Despite some of the things I may say for all those fans out there,
I got no problem with that.
My rule of thumb, and this is kind of the way I try to describe it to everyone, is that I will take defending Tom Brady to that's my priority. is to defend him in a way. Maybe I think he knows or something like that. It, obviously, I don't. You know what I mean?
I don't think you need to defend him. He does pretty well on his own.
I think we've all seen some of the articles and tweets and narratives about him. So it makes me feel better that I can. That's my lot in life. I battle that. So my motivation is always to prop Brady, not to knock the other person. It just sometimes happens to be the case. So
yeah, and I got no problem with that. I would punt an MVP every year to have a chance at a title. So that means, you know, individual awards in football to me are silly. But that's me. But, you know, like all this Aaron Rodgers narrative right now, and I know it's not you, but that is completely silly. And it's just, I guess it's the offseason, right, for the Packers. So just keep hearing this stuff about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers just drive me crazy. But, damn, I really wish he was there. But nothing against the two that are there right now. You know, winners win, and you guys did. And I will say before we keep on going, congratulations to both teams right there.
Well, I those guys, either way, it's going to would have been a great Super Bowl, whether it's the Packers, Chiefs or Bucks or Chiefs. I think either way it was going to be a good matchup. But Kyle, look, you kind of had that foresight a few weeks ago before, you know, obviously we were getting into the playoffs. And you're like, you know what? I don't know if I want Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP. That current, and I know it's so unfootball related, and it's just really at the end of the day, it's just a pure coincidence. And if you think about the odds, of it being the one, you know what I mean, the MVP, whatever, it is what it is. But Kyle, were you thinking about that?
I honestly haven't thought about that. I've been more depressed on the fact that they were so close, they could have won. That's all I've been thinking for the last week and a half now. Brayden, I'd like to hear what you're thinking though about all this.
Yeah, I guess first off, going back to something Jesse said of what, you know, maybe a defender could kind of decide this game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, but I think I saw like all of Brady's Super Bowl wins, he's had a game-winning drive. And then you go back to that Eagles Super Bowl where they had the strip sack on him. So it does feel kind of like this game could come down to the wire. That's what it's been so far between all the Mahomes and Brady meetings. And, you know, it probably shouldn't have been that way week 12 earlier this season, but Brady battled him back into it kind of himself. So yeah, I think it's just not just the quarterbacks, but these two teams are just so deep. I mean, you look at kind of the roster construction that they have, they've really hit on drafting players that are kind of fringe draft worthy guys. You look at Kansas City, like Rashad Fenton, and bringing in UDFA Charvarius Ward from a trade from Dallas, and then Tampa Bay obviously has some of their guys on the back end as well. Jordan Whitehead is a guy that sticks out to me. So I think it's just everything that these teams have done over the last few years to kind of get themselves, you know, out of the perennial loser mode and on top. It's just more than the quarterbacks to me. And just the depth that these teams have is what's going to make it exciting for me on Sunday.
I'll chime in real quick because you'll be surprised. I actually agree that, you know, the biggest factor in both of these teams, though, is the quarterback, because like there's no shortage of talent on either of these teams. And you guys said it when we started the show. I mean, we're not sitting there and saying, oh, no, this one person. These quarterbacks are flush with talent. But the thing is, you know, this Bucks team without Brady went 7-9. Now, there are minor differences. Right. Yes, there are a little bit better. And even the Chiefs team with Alex Smith, who we all, I think, would agree is a really good quarterback at worst, were a divisional round team. I mean, they were a playoff team, but I don't think anyone ever saw them as a threat. You know what I'm saying? Like they were always going to be there. They're always going to be in the playoff mix with Alex Smith and, you know, all these great players around them and all that. And it was going to be a pretty good team. But Patrick Mahomes takes them to that next level. And I know people are, you know, jaws on the floor. I'm complimenting Patrick Mahomes. But I think that's really the key difference here for both of these teams. And we've seen it kind of gel together to get to this point where, well, this is a pretty darn good matchup between the two.
I do agree with you, Ian. If you ask me who the best two quarterbacks are right now, unfortunately, you probably have to say Mahomes, Brady, I say unfortunately, from a Packers perspective. So if we accept that premise, that Brady and Mahomes are the two best quarterbacks playing against each other, in my mind, I went back and I realized that doesn't happen often. the two best quarterbacks playing against each other. I can only think of two for sure. One other, maybe three instances total before this. So before I name them, I want to hear what your guys' thoughts. Like where do you think this stands among all-time quarterback matchups, and what do you think those other matchups are?
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to say Montana and Elway's probably.
That's the only one.
That's probably, and I can't think of them all, but it's hard to think that there's a better example of Elway and Montana. I mean, in hindsight, you can go back and say Brady and Kurt Warner, but no one at the time would sit there and say, oh, this is a matchup of the two. No, it took a couple of years. I mean, obviously, Kurt Warner just won an MVP, but I think looking back, we might say that was one of them. But yeah, I don't know. I can't think of another one right now. Maybe Brady Wilson. Does that count? Was Wilson kind of that guy, really? I don't think so.
I think at that point, we would, as much as we don't want to talk about 2014 on the show, like, it's, you know, regardless of the result of whatever game between the two, I think Rodgers is still a better quarterback than Wilson. So I think by default, the fact that Brady and Rodgers never played against each other in the Super Bowl, neither did Brady and Manning, I think you actually have to take out every Brady game. Really? I mean, you know what, Ian, you almost got me, though, with the Warner, right? Because maybe at that point you say Kurt Warner is the best quarterback in the NFL. But I think if, like, you wouldn't have said that about Brady at that point. You'd still say it was probably Favre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying Packers bias at that point, but you probably would say Favre at that.
No, so, I mean, well, think about it. 1999, he wins his MVP, Kurt Warner, his second MVP in 2001. You can argue at that point he had, I think, an injury kind of shortened his 2000 season a little bit, if I remember correctly. But yeah, at that time, I mean, Marino was gone, Elway was gone, so yeah. I mean, look, hey, it's that's not bad. I mean, Peyton was kind of.
Rich Gannon might have been the best quarterback in the AFC.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? You're right, because he won an MVP in 2002, but yeah, he was also arguably the best quarterback in 2001.
Yeah, I still think, like, if you're looking at that era, though, like, Favre's probably the best throughout all that. Like, you know, none of them you really say they're a better quarterback than Favre. So my whole point of best on best, I think that's why I this is Brady's first chance at it, really. As much as, you know, Wilson was close and Warner close. So what do you think, Braden? Like, what are you thinking about quarterback matchups, all-time best on all-time best?
Yeah, and I guess I don't want to make anyone feel old, but I can't probably go back that far for all the quarterback ones, even like some of Brady's early ones. I'm probably hit or miss. But yeah, I think for Brady just himself, this is probably the best one. I think back, I guess, to the 90s, I think, kind of Dallas and Buffalo, maybe Troy Aikman and Jim Kelly's one I could throw out there. But that one still maybe doesn't measure up to Mahomes and Brady, in my opinion.
Well, to be honest, I'm going to throw this out real quick. McNabb and Brady. Because, mm-hmm. You know, at that point, by the time, you know, they were in their third Super Bowl, I think people back-to-back 14-2 seasons. Brady led the league in touchdown passes his second year in 2002 and was like a behind McNair and Peyton Manning in the MVP race the following year. So I think at that point he started to establish himself as one of the best. And, you know, I think we kind of think of McNabb as, you know, thrown up in the huddle, but, you know, he was a damn good quarterback, you know, and yes, under Andy Reid as well.
I still think it goes back to Montana Elway, though. I mean, both are in their prime, you know, I think this one's better personally. I really do. Not to say nothing against those guys, but yeah, both are in their prime. Both are hitting stride. Like, this is an Elway that's supposed to take off, right? Like, he's always going to be there every year. Like, he was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes, you know? So, yeah, that was the one right there. And, of course, Montana got that win pretty easily. But, yeah, this one's pretty epic, I think.
All right, so I'll say my three, and honestly, you didn't name them. Really, it's funny. So, I mean, first off, to the McNabb thing, I mean, Peyton Manning's 2004 season made him the best quarterback. I mean, and then if you say anyone else, it's Brady. So that's why I wouldn't include that one either. As good as McNabb is, he's not especially Peyton Manning 2004. I mean, that Rodgers' touchdown rate was ridiculous this year, and he still comes behind Manning's 2004 season.
Well, I think 2004 Peyton Manning might be the best quarterback season of all time. That's better than his 55 touchdown. That's better than Brady's 07. That's better than Mahomes 2015. Recently. So, but that's a discussion for another day.
I'll name my three. So say in the 90s, I think by the time you're in the midst of three straight MVPs, I think by the late 90s, you say Brett Favre is the best quarterback. Favre, Elway. Would you consider Elway the second best at that point? I mean, I know Aikman's around, Marino's still at the end, but like the way Elway's going, you might be able to make the argument he's the second best quarterback in the late 90s there when he faced Favre.
Could, but I mean, he was definitely on the downswing and obviously at the end of his career. Because we're talking 97, so he had 97 and 98 that he played, and that was it. So I don't.
That's Terrell Davis team right there too.
Oh, and my other two are stronger though. So the other two cases, one is okay, and I guess you made me feel old regardless, Braden. Whatever. 70s. The two best quarterbacks in the 70s, I think, are pretty easily Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw. That matchups to me, like that's. Since then, we've probably only seen one other one that's come close to what we're about to have with Brady and Brady and Mahomes. And I think the only quarterback matchup, just because both of these guys are top five, it's funny, you all gravitated to the 80s. You said Montana Elway. To me, the two best quarterbacks at that point are Montana Marino, and they actually went head to head in the 1984 Super Bowl. Marino's
he's
only
a rookie too, though. Yeah,
yeah. It was kind of like the Kurt Warner thing. Was Kurt Warner the best quarterback? Well, I guess actually my reference point was his third year, but was Kurt Warner the best quarterback in the league after his rookie year? Not that it's the same difference, same comparison, but you know what I'm saying. I think I discounted that one a little bit because Marino was a rookie, but then again, when you win That's MVP fair. And do all that, it's hard. It depends on the situation. Like, okay, and this is where I get a lot of slack or a lot of disagreement. Like, as great as Mahomes was in 2018, and he won the MVP and everything like that, I don't think that automatically elevated him over Brady because, again, not only is Brady, he's Brady, but he also beat him, won a Super Bowl, and is still playing, obviously. So that kind of, lets you into how I'm seeing it. So Marino could go out, win an MVP his first year, but like there's a consistency factor, I think, that applies to becoming the best at your profession, your position at your profession. So, and I don't think you can achieve that in one singular year. So I guess that's my philosophy, if you guys wanted to know.
Well, my main takeaway from this conversation is that we very well could be watching the best quarterback matchup ever in Super Bowl history.
Oh, if you think about it, Joe Montana and John Elway, I think Joe Montana, I think a lot of people easily is in the top five. I'd probably put him as number two.
Number and three here. Locked in top five, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And Elway, again, there's no one that's ever going to put him out of the top 10. I'd argue that a lot of people, it's hard to put him out of the top seven.
Not for me.
Well,
if you're asking me Roger Staubach, John Elway, I take Roger Staubach and that dual ability. Like, when you talk about, like, what Lamar Jackson might become or what Michael Vick was, even Steve Young, they all tried to be what Roger Staubach was. Like, that mix of, but he was probably a better thrower than all of them. And maybe not quite the same speed as Lamar Jackson, but maybe a better runner than all of them in terms of running instincts. So,
Steve Young was a pretty good thrower too, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Staubach, when this is maybe revisionist history, but like going back, like a lot of what was written about him in the time is when he retired, everyone thought he was the best quarterback of all time. And then the 80s came and Montana happened, and that kind of erased that away. But for a while there, people were kind of in awe of Staubach as like the best. And I think Staubach's the locked in top seven, not Elway. I think he locks Elway out of that, to be honest.
No, that's fair. I can't say I disagree with that, to be honest with you.
I got Elway there. I got Marino on the outside, but whatever, different conversation. Yeah.
Well, and look, and now that I think about it too, it's like if you think about when Elway and Montana played each other, I'm guilty of this right now. I'm basing that off what we know after their careers were over. So after their careers were over, this is where we rank them, I think. But at the time, I don't think people... There was a general consensus that Joe Montana was the best quarterback of all time. I think right now, I mean, there are detractors out there, and to those I say, but I think it's pretty close to as a consensus opinion as you're going to get that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, if you want to get into pre-Super Bowl and all that nonsense, okay, whatever. But I'm saying Super Bowl era, I think that's pretty well known. So you have the greatest quarterback of all time, still playing, not just there, but still playing at a MVP top quarterback in the game level, going against, you know, clearly the best young quarterback in the game. Again, we could sit here and argue all day about who's quote unquote better or the best between the two. And that would be pointless because, you know, if we disagree, we disagree. But I think you're right. I think we are getting the very best matchup. We don't know where Mahomes is going to ultimately end up career-wise, but the same could be said about Elway and Montana at the time. But, you know, right then and there, they were the two best quarterbacks in the league.
And I guess even, like, you look at Bradshaw now, he's probably not in the top 10 all-time.
At all.
But if you look at also these quarterback matchups and how they actually perform, because, like, the Montana-Elway one, we think that's good, but then it was one of the biggest blowouts in Super Bowl history. Montana Marino wasn't particularly close either. You know, Favre Elway, we went back to that one, was close. You know, Brady Warner was close. I mean, all the Brady Super Bowls are close, but I think the last one that was really like these quarterbacks and they had a shootout as well was probably Staubach and Bradshaw. So, you know, that might be the, like, if we go back, not just the who the quarterbacks are, but also the end result. If this turns out to be a great shooter, then it probably does surpass just because of who these guys are.
Well, and they both won Super Bowls. You can't say that about Elway and Montana. As great as that matchup was, you couldn't say that about Montana and Marino.
You get that with Staubach and Bradshaw.
And again, I said it when I first started talking, was not only do you get two quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, but you have the last two quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, which has never happened before either, so...
Just and that speaks to the parity of the NFL, right? So, which again, the Chiefs coming back to back is no small feat. I know that was the mission this year, right? Everyone almost expected it. I'm sure if you look at most people's preseason picks, probably that a lot of it would have been Chiefs AFC champions. And so, I guess Braden, to you, what do you think the Chiefs need to do in this game to repeat?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is to not hold back, whether that's offense or defense. I think defensively they kind of, you know, got to Brady a little more than most people expected in that first regular season meeting. And, you know, with Steve Spagnuolo knowing what he's been able to do against Brady in the past, I don't think he's going to be very unrelenting. So, and it's kind of funny watching some of his stuff because I went back to the Week 12 game a little bit and watched back, and one of Brady's interceptions, there was like a wide open player on the other side. So it's just, he lives pretty dangerously, but I think he's going to stay aggressive. And I think with Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense, I think this is going to be a game where I think they're just going to try to prove that they can start faster than they have in other games. You look back to the Browns playoff game from the divisional round. I think we could see something similar to that. So the biggest thing I think is just to keep them in the lead and not really allow Tampa Bay to get a first hand in this game, so to speak, because I think just seeing how Tampa came back in that game a little bit to make it close in the regular season, that's something I think is going to be big on their minds in this one.
So we talked about this before the show started, but I think it's good to mention it to the listeners too. They want to hear this. The Chiefs offensive line right now, you know, what are the concerns going in? Maybe educate people a bit on the situation that's gone across the entire line.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so with Eric Fisher out, Mike Remmers has kind of kicked in from right tackle to left tackle, and he was already replacing a pretty stud right tackle himself in Mitchell Schwartz. So, you know, losing both your tackles is certainly not going to be something enjoyable. But then you look at the interior and you missed, you know, Kelechi Osemele for much of the year, who kind of brought a powerful presence to that offensive line, something they hadn't really had. And, you know, it's just kind of an offensive line right now that's changed so much more than people realize. I think this is a unit going into Sunday that's only played 17 snaps together all year. So I think the biggest thing is just being able to help those guys out enough, I think Andy Reid's going to try to chip with some extra tight ends or running backs as much as he can. Just because with the Bucs pass rush, it's not just one guy. It's, I mean, a whole slew of guys. I mean, Pierre Paul, Shaq Barrett. And I think Vita Vea coming back is the biggest X factor for Tampa Bay. I don't think many people expected him to be back. He's just kind of a unique player for a defensive tackle built the way he is, but kind of moves like a defensive end. So there's so many guys there that I think we're going to see a lot of rollouts, a lot of moving pockets, sprint out action from Mahomes in this game, and maybe some deeper drops as well, like we saw at times in last year's Super Bowl.
Just quickly, Braden, do you think... and I mean, quickly, just to, in case anyone else has any questions, I'll get to you guys soon. Do you think that, is there a chance that Travis Kelce maybe spends more time blocking than expected and thus his production, at least receiving yards and receptions wise, goes down? And like, do you think that maybe affects how some of the lines or how people maybe should be betting on some of those prop lines?
I would say yes and no. I think he will block a fair amount, but I don't think necessarily it will hurt his production. At the same time, I think he's still going to be kind of getting those double digit targets we saw last two playoff games. I think he had 25 over the last two games. So I kind of expect him to still get a lot of production, but I could still see him blocking at least early on, maybe in the game, if they need to kind of set the tone there.
Just quickly, I know Thrive Fantasy has Kelce at 98.5 receiving yards as their over-under line. So I don't know, not necessarily going to make this a prop show. We did that on the Full Price Fantasy pod already. But what do you think just about that line for Kelce? 98.5 receiving yards.
I think that's about right. He's gotten just over 100 the last two playoff games, and those were both career highs. So I think that's almost been his peak in a way. For him in the playoffs. So I think that's honestly set about right.
Would you feel more confident in Tyreek Hill slightly under at 94.5 receiving yards, thinking he maybe has a better chance to get that massive total?
I think so. It's kind of tough, I guess, to see what Tampa Bay is going to try to do this game, knowing what he did against them in week 12. But yeah, he's also kind of been like Kelce, setting single game career playoff highs. So I could see him hitting the over there.
Right. So, and to circle back to what you were saying, Braden, about Vita Vea. And, we saw, we talked about the Packers and the recap game, how, Jesse, we thought Corey Linsley actually handled Vita Vea really well. I wonder, was that partially because, his first game back, not quite into it? Now, two weeks from now, Jesse, what do you think about Vita Vea? Do you think he'll be in a better position to produce? I mean, and perform, and at least we know he's going against a center that's not as good as what Linsley was this year.
Yeah, well, first of all, this is a 350-pound man coming back on a broken ankle / broken leg. Like, I've heard both, what it was, so it must have been, like, high up on the ankle. He wasn't 100%, right? So, Corey Linsley, one of the best in the business, he did pretty good against him, but, this guy got his feet wet. He was out there. He played more snaps than everybody thought. I was more impressed with his conditioning that he could stay out there that long. So now you give him 2 weeks, he's going to be a factor. Like, this guy is a beast, right? Like, let's no doubt about it. So the Chiefs aren't a huge running team anyways, but it would still be nice if they can establish it a little bit, right? And he's going to be a big factor into not letting them do it. So, I think he's a major – he's going to have a major role in this game, especially to keep those linebackers clean. You got two studs in David and White that like to fly around. But when you run at them, that's where you get a little success. Well, guess what? With this big old hog molly in the middle, that's not going to be easy. So he's going to be a big role.
Ian, and you know firsthand, maybe not firsthand, but you've seen it from a Patriots perspective, what Jason Pierre-Paul can do to an opposing offense. How happy do you think Tom Brady is not having to face him in the Super Bowl?
I think he's pretty happy, and I think you can sit there and draw comparisons to, kind of that 07 Giants and Patriots matchup where, obviously the Giants in this case, quote unquote, the Bucs, have a much better quarterback. I mean, obviously Tom Brady is not Eli Manning in 07. Let's be clear, but the matchup on the line is there. And it's not just because obviously Pierre Paul came in 2011, but it's not just because of the domination on the lines between these two teams. It's kind of what Braden was saying. You have a team, a line that's played together for only 17 snaps. And, you know, these guys are great. I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible to overcome that. There's no way they can do it. Of course they can, but it's not going to be easy, especially against this team. And what they do, one of the things they do best is rush the quarterback in many different ways, because, well, Todd Bowles just loves blitzing, and that's what we're going to see a lot of. So Jesse's right. They have to get the run established some way or some fashion, because you cannot let this team just tee up on drop backs and bootlegs and rollouts, because they're quick enough to stay with Mahomes on the sidelines. They're quick enough to cover the flats and not lose a bunch of yardage. So you can't just rely on athleticism to get around them, because, well, Pierre Paul, and talk about Vita Vea, well, he's a pretty athletic guy for a big guy. And, you know, if you can't get to the outside, well, you're not going to get up the middle against him.
I guess, you know, especially with extra blitzes, not just the tight ends chipping, but running back pass protection and blitz pickups is going to be huge. So, Braden, which running back do you think we will see more on the field?
I would probably say Daryl Williams, just because personally, I don't think just everything that I've kind of heard and read so far, I don't think Edwards-Helaire is totally 100% yet either. And Williams is probably the better blocker. So I think you could see something very similar to the AFC Championship game, probably kind of a balanced look, but maybe slightly trending in the favor of Daryl Williams.
And any word on Le'Veon Bell? Because, you know, he's also injured, much like Helaire, but maybe a little worse off.
Yeah, he was limited in today's practice. And I know, like with Watkins, when they've listed him as limited, it's kind of been more of a precaution. So I'm not sure exactly if that is the case with Bell as well. He had swelling in his knee going into the AFC Championship game. So I think it's just kind of with him, the same as Watkins, a little bit of a precaution. They're not trying to overdo him here going into this game.
Okay, and, you know, I think that's a good transition point, talking about Watkins. And I mean, we've made focus on Kelce and Hill a little bit already. And I think one thing, yes, these quarterbacks are amazing, but I think maybe all three of you have referenced this. They've got a great complement of weapons, but if you look at all the receiving cores, they're very versatile players, and sometimes these players can fit specific roles, but just across the entire receiver core, you basically cover every type of route. You see that with the Buccaneers, right? You've got, just looking at wide receivers, you got Mike Evans, strong contested catch guy, great red zone weapon, but can also still run deep really well. And so great deep ball tracker too. So you've got him kind of stretching the field, but also, you know, in the red zone. You've got Chris Godwin kind of get open everywhere, on the slot, on the perimeter. Normally good hands. I know he's got the broken finger this year. The drops have been a little there more. Which again, I think we might, you know, think we chalk up to injury. I don't think someone's hands just drastically turn into Amari Cooper's suddenly.
Yeah.
I love ripping on Amari Cooper. Anyway, sorry about that, Amari Cooper fans. You've got Scotty Miller, and I think Ian, you've referenced this. He his speed and how he's so fast. Even Tyler Johnson, right? Jesse, in your Know the Foe article, or not Know the Foe, the Keys to the NFC Championship Game article a couple weeks ago, you specifically mentioned Johnson and kind of his ability all over. He can also get in the slot too. And so they've got all these versatile receivers, obviously the tight ends and Gronk and Brate. Look at the Chiefs side. You know, Hill and Mecole Hardman, similar in that they're fast players, but they do also, they're both pretty versatile, especially Hill, kind of all over the place, all types of roles, running, receiving. So they've got that versatility. Whether it's Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, even Byron Pringle, you've got those kind of possession type receivers. You know, Watkins maybe a little bit more athleticism than that, but you know, you've got a lot of everything really covered on both receiving cores.
Yeah, and I don't think you even mentioned Antonio Brown, you know, for the Bucs side, which, you know, it seems like he practiced today and it seems like he's trending towards playing. But yeah, I mean, these quarterbacks certainly have plenty of help around them, and again, that's one of the reasons why both teams are probably two of the best, if they are the two best teams in the league right now. So
So I think that the maybe the four obvious guys, right? It's Kelce, Hill, Godwin, Evans. So who's the fifth man? Which receiver is going to step up on either side and be that other big factor in the game?
I'm thinking about, you know, on the Bucs side, it's like, wow, you know, I could sit there and say Antonio Brown, but, you know, Scotty Miller again. I mean, he kind of gets lost in the mix, and you can even say that for like Bucs fan, you know, you kind of forget about him sometimes, you know, like, you know, big names across the board, especially if Antonio Brown's out there, you're going to forget about his speed. Kevin King did. And, you know, it is what it is. And like, you know, it's all it takes. And that's the thing about Scotty Miller. He doesn't have to have 10 catches for 150 yards. He just needs three. He can make three plays all game and it'd be more impactful than anything else that happened in the game. And I think that's why ultimately he's that X factor, because he just has that potential to do that. Because we talked about, Kyle, how devastating that halftime play was. I mean, that's the game against the Packers right there. Everything else that happened before and after ultimately doesn't matter, because the game was won in that series of about five plays from both teams. From the turnover on the Packers side to the Scotty Miller just, oh yeah, that's right, that guy runs a 4.23 or whatever the hell it is, and he just, you know, strolls into the end zone. So Scotty Miller, to me, he's going to make a big play, and that's all you need from him is one or two big plays.
Yeah, I'll go as far as say too, you're 100% right. I don't know why we keep going back to this Packer game, because it hurts.
I didn't try to, you know, help prove my point.
I'm going to say like Cameron Brate, you know, like, you know, no, this guy was a very like big time, get the possession, get the first down, do this. And he kind of went to the wayside, and like, this is a guy that can make a play here and there. Doesn't have to be exciting. Doesn't have to be sexy. Not going to be the MVP of the game, but that might be a guy that's going to win possession battles for Tampa Bay. On the other side, I really feel like getting these running backs involved somehow, some way. Doesn't matter who the heck it is. It doesn't. Listen, that single high crap that Tampa Bay tried to do the first time, it didn't work, right? They're not going to do it again. They're not going to do it again. So they're going to try to take away two big weapons. Somebody else has got to beat this defense. These linebackers can fly. It's going to be those matchups where if they can get somebody to make a play here and there, and I think it's really in the running back's hands, even if it's something small, you know what I mean? Like we're kind of talking about here, 3rd and 3, get open, pick up 4. Or, hey, guess what? We can run up the middle, do something like that. Those are the little things that's going to matter to win this game. Because I think we all think that the stars are going to get theirs. And now it might not be out of this world, but the stars are going to get their place. It's going to be some small plays at the right time on these other guys that it's going to decide this football game. And I'm going to go back. It's going to matter on defense. But, yeah, we're talking offense right now.
Could I go with Rob Gronkowski? I know you just said stars will get theirs, but I mean, going back to that first Chiefs game this year, that was his, you know, highest receiving game of the season yardage wise, tied for his best game receptions. I just watching back, you know, that game a couple of days ago, the Chiefs just didn't really know how to cover him. And I don't know if it's just the fact that Brady's there for me, or, you know, playoff Gronk type of atmosphere. I really think Gronk's going to be a big factor in this one for the Chiefs, because you know, they tried to mix and match different guys on him in that first game. Sorensen kind of struggled, and Tyrann Mathieu even kind of was slow to get to him at times. So Juan Thornhill, I think, for the Chiefs side of things, he's finally looking back to as close to 100% as he could, coming off torn ACL late last season. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to completely stop him 100% if they kind of play him the same way they did last game.
Yeah, that's a great point, because again, he's a guy too, kind of like this, he's kind of a microcosm for this entire Bucs team, who had a very slow start. It was a lot of bumps and you know, potholes along the way, trying to figure out, you know, who they are, how, you know, how they're going to play this game. And, you know, in a way, it was Gronk trying to get back from, you know, being on the sidelines for over a year and not playing football, and you know, getting back into that rhythm. And I think over the course of the last several weeks, really starting from that Chiefs game, you've seen him turn into that multi-tool tight end again, where, you know, against Washington, you didn't hear his name in the passing game, but he had probably his best, one of his best games of the season because of his blocking. And then all of a sudden, when you need him to make a play here and there, a la against the Packers, once again, I hate to keep bringing it up.
I knew he was going to say it too. I was thinking it though. So it,
Well, again, I wish it were the Saints that they lost, you know, they beat in the NFC Championship game. So I could keep going back to that, but you know, it is what it is. But so, yeah, Gronk is, even if you know where to go with him, he's still almost impossible to cover. He's not 2011 Gronk, but you know, you'd be hard pressed to find a, you know, too many more complete all-world tight ends like Rob Gronkowski right now.
Well, let's transition on that too. You know, we're talking about all these guys who we think are going to change it. Who's going to cover the studs, right? Like, look at both sides. These secondaries don't have these elite corners, which, not saying they're bad, but I think the safety play is a lot better on both teams. So who's stopping the other studs, first of all? It's going to take a whole defense to try to slow down the big guys. So who's to say, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just weird to me. And so Kansas City, you know, they maybe have the better player in the secondary at a safety in Tyrann Mathieu. But then you look at the Tampa Bay linebackers, where maybe they can cover up some weaknesses there. But they have younger, which I like Dean, and I like some of the talent that they have at corner, but they're not elite, right? So who's stopping the first guys first before we get to even the secondary guys?
I would say that the Bucs secondary is probably playing their best all season. Sean Murphy Bunting has an interception in what feels like 25 straight games. these guys, and look, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, unbelievable player, best in this game defensively, I would say, you know, from a secondary standpoint. Antoine Winfield Jr. is not too far off, and I know he's a rookie, but from day one, the moment he stepped on the football field, he looked like he belonged, and there's no way to quantify that. It's just, if you watch football, you watch rookies, sometimes you just see players that look like they've been playing for, you know, 20 years, and there you have it with Antoine Winfield. And it looks like all things are good for him to play.
And that's the biggest thing, is he 100? You know, that's a big thing.
And here's the thing, from his play, and the Bucs last week was big. They lost both safeties and were still able to obviously win the game. They can't, I think they learned a lot about who they had in that game. So it's even better now that hopefully that they're getting back. And same with Jordan Whitehead, who left that game as well after the tackle on Aaron Jones. So between the two safeties, between guys like Sean Murphy Bunting and Carlton Davis, this team wants the ball. They go after the ball. Sometimes that leaves them susceptible for some broken tackles and some big plays. But there's one thing about it, is they're unrelenting. So if you catch the ball, well, guess what? You better believe that you're getting some sort of tomahawk swipe with the fist or someone going to yank that ball out. And I think eventually that's what's going to wear on some of these guys, even like Tyreek Hill or even like Travis Kelce, who may not eventually fumble, but they're going to be beat up to the point that maybe one of these plays, Mahomes looks Hill's way and he's not quite to where he needs to be yet. And he turns to his second or third option and that guy gets popped and loses the ball. Or he jumps it off to the running back, and a la the NFC Championship game, a big momentum-changing fumble.
Okay, now you're just doing this on purpose, aren't you?
Okay, well, I mean, these things are, this is like low-hanging fruit here. It's literally just, it's setting it up on a tee. But the point was, like, I think even you guys will sit there and watch and be like, that fumble wasn't surprising because the Bucs defense was, up to that point, just attacking the ball. So when that fumble finally happened, it was kind of like, yeah, I believe it. So that's kind of what I'm saying. I think they're playing their best football right now, and they're doing it in a lot of different ways, and they're very physical. And I think, again, they're going to have to beat up some of these guys to get advantage, take the advantage away from Mahomes in this offense.
I mean, this is a Packers pod after all. You're just trying to include the Packers and all this, aren't you?
Well, see, that's why people should be happy that I'm here. That's what I'm trying to do.
As we learned last week with the Packers, should and could don't always coincide.
Well, and you look at the trenches too, you know, I mean, yeah, I agree with what you're saying in the secondary. The Bucs are playing their best right now, right? And they're, I'll go back to the backer game too. Guess what? They made their opportunities and they took advantage of them. They were attacking and they made their opportunities. And it mattered, right? You know, you keep punching somebody, you keep hitting them hard, and it happens. You know, the ball comes out, stuff like that. And well, move, you know, into the front seven. I don't think Kansas City's as deep, but hey, you know, with what they have, I think they can match up. Now, right now, Tampa Bay's edge rushers are playing out of their minds, you know, and then you got Vita Vea back in the middle, but let's not discount Kansas City, what they can do. I mean, Chris Jones is a monster. I mean, he's a tough out, you know, both lines are O-lines are pretty good, but that's going to be a good matchup right there inside. And this guy can single-handedly change the game. How do you beat Brady? You get pressure with four, right? And this guy can be that factor.
And specifically, you know, ideally up the middle. You know, you want to prevent him from being able to step up and manipulate the pocket, because that's where Brady's mobility. You know, people say he's not mobile. No, this is where he's mobile, is when he gets the room to step up, move to his left, move to his right. He'll slice and dice you. But if you clog that middle and prevent him from seeing inside out, then that's where you can get that advantage. And fortunately for the Chiefs, they have a defensive coordinator who has done this before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that kind of goes to the point that, you know, Chris Jones and Frank Clark were kind of talking about with the media, just how Tom Brady kind of manipulates rushers with his shoulders too. So not being able to step into the pocket, that's a big part of it for those rushers. You know, if he's able to slide to his left, like we kind of saw against Washington in the wild card game, that's when Brady's just as deadly. So to me, it's just how he handles pressure. That's another thing, obviously, that makes him one of the best of all time. But having that interior guy for the Chiefs that can handle double teams the way he does, that's going to be a big factor for them for sure.
Any final topics, or do you think we've covered this game about as well as Tyrann Mathieu can cover the whole field?
We'll see what happens on Sunday with Tyrann Mathieu. Just saying.
But to be fair, he does have a tough task, because he's.
Yep.
I almost wonder, are the Chiefs going to try tell him, you're going to basically try and predict if Evans or Godwin's getting the ball? If you think one of them's getting the ball, you double them. And if like, how much leeway is he going to get to try and take chances? Or just have him in the middle and, okay, as soon as you see the ball, go fly to that direction and hope you can get it.
Yeah, look, it's going to be tough, because, you know, you've already got, you know, you could pick right between Evans and Godwin, but then you still have Scotty Miller, you still have Antonio Brown, you still have Tyler Johnson, who will drop the easiest pass, but then make this miraculous sideline catch on the, you know, with his fingertips. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that's why you got him. So, yeah, look, it's going to be tough for both of these defenses. This, you know, I know the cliche, you know, defense wins chant. No, it doesn't. Offense does. I mean, we're in a offensive era of football. So stop with this defense wins championship nonsense. You need a great offense to win championships. And we have the two best in the league, so they're going to get theirs. It's not so much about the defenses making every play. It's about making the right play. And, you know, partly that has to do with the quarterbacks not making mistakes too. So that's why it's so tough to really see who has the edge here outside of, I like a lot of storylines. I like a lot of stories within the stories. And I love the narrative that Tom Brady is a dynasty killer. And by that, I mean, one of the most famous sound bites from the 01 Super Bowl DVD was Ricky Prohl, right before the Rams got introduced, turning to the camera and saying, tonight, a dynasty is born. And we all know what happened. The Rams did not win their second Super Bowl. Tom Brady won, and he's won, you know, pretty much every other since. And the Rams never got back. I'm not saying that's going to happen to the Chiefs. It happened to the Seahawks. We saw that happen.
Just say your prediction.
We know what's going to happen. Tom Brady Of course. He's going to win his seventh Super Bowl. Look, I mean, outside of all these ridiculous non-quantifiable narratives that I'm spewing right now, I honestly just think this team is playing better than any team right now. And, you know, the difference between he and Mahomes isn't, you know, it, we could sit here and argue all day about who's better, who's not. There's no one. And I don't want to hear about passer rating. I don't hear about this. There's no one in the playoffs I take over Tom Brady. And I think he's, and I know it's, oh, you're just saying that. No, I think his play speaks for himself too. He's had a really strong three road games to get here. The momentum going into the Super Bowl being at home, this whole, I don't know, there's just so much to it. To I'm just like, I see this Bucs team winning this game and, you know, standing in the way of a back-to-back title, which the Chiefs really, really want.
Braden, I mean, that prediction was about as predictable as you can get. I think we all knew that was coming. I have a feeling I know which direction Braden's going, but maybe he'll surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to obviously bet against Brady, but I think for the thing right now at Kansas City that kind of we've seen so far in the playoffs, both games, especially before Mahomes got hurt against Cleveland, I just think right now, I just think they're scoring no matter what in any situation. And I know that obviously Brady's on the other side, but I don't know right now if Kansas City's gonna be able to stop, I guess, scoring in this game. I just feel like this is gonna be one of the highest scoring play Super Bowl games I've ever seen. So I'll throw a score in there that I kind of did with Ricky Keeler earlier today: Kansas City 38, Tampa Bay 31. And I just think this game could come down to the final drive and might be a Chiefs defender, in my opinion, making a play. Whether it's Honey Badger or Brashad Breeland on the back end.
Real quick, I'll say this. The Chiefs can't start slow in this game. We know that they're certainly capable of coming back. I don't think this is a game they can start. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't think they can fall behind early in this game. So I don't think the Bucs would give it up. And more importantly, Brady. So just my 2 cents.
Yeah, that pass rush for the Bucs wants to be in the lead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, if the Bucs are playing with the lead, that's exactly what they want, because then they can do whatever they want on defense. And the offense, we know Brady can play at whatever pace they need to.
Now for the impartial votes. Jesse, what are you saying for this game?
I'm going to punt. No, I'm just kidding.
Offensive football game of all time? No, I'm punting.
Yeah, 3rd and 1, I'm punting. Let's go.
Is Mike McCarthy here?
Wow, that hurts. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, let's look at from the top down. You know, I think Andy Reid's a better coach. Mm-hmm. That's not ripping on Bruce, but I think Andy Reid is. I think there's a little bit of, you know, Tom Brady got him a few times and stuff in there. And it's hard to bet against Brady, but I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as we're kind of predicting right there. Guys, dang, I don't want to pick this. If the Chiefs offensive line was 100%, I'd feel a lot more confident. I'm going Chiefs anyways. They just seem like when they're ready to go, they impose their will, you know, 2 weeks ago. I think they edge it out. Don't tell me how they do it. Don't tell me anything. The change in the guard is happening. It's got to happen sometimes, right? You know, Brady can't play till he's 70, or can he? Who knows? But I'm going Chiefs. I'm going to go 28-24 Chiefs.
So my quick question, is there a corner in the Chiefs secondary that's as bad as Kevin King? At least the starter, among the starters.
Yeah, if I had to point to one, I guess it'd maybe be Charvarius Ward, but I I don't know if I could go that far or not.
And so, you know, and I think one of, as good as Kevin King has been in some games, I think one thing that's been apparent throughout his career, incredibly poor at covering the deep run, the deep route. That's his biggest weakness. I saw it in the NFC Championship game. How is Ward? Is Ward also, like, is that a weakness that is easily exploited with Ward, or is he better on the deep ball?
I would say basically the main thing is with him is speed. So if he can stay, like, close to the receiver, he's fine. But I think if you're able to run by him and he's not able to get a hand, he's not able to get a hand on the receiver, that's kind of where he gets in trouble. So it's all about the separation and kind of the field positioning as well.
Because that's the one thing I think we know about Brady is if there's a weakness to be had, he will exploit it. So I think that's so pressure on the Chiefs. 12
days by himself at home, just studying. That's all he's doing.
So the Chiefs secondary, it's going to be, you know, incredibly disciplined. Don't play like Kevin King, and I think the Chiefs win. So I will say that, because I don't think there's a corner that's going to play as poorly as Kevin King. Maybe I just like ripping on King now. Kevin King, Amari Cooper. But we don't want to know about who I like to rip on. What we want to know about is where to find and follow all of you. So, Braden, we'll start with you. Just let people know what's going on with the FPC Chiefs.
Yeah, you guys can follow the FPC Chiefs Twitter account at FPC_Chiefs. Just had a three key matchups piece dropped there today. Chiefs offense versus Bucks D. And kind of a component that I really was excited to talk about there is just all the speed in this matchup from both sides of the ball. Bucks could be able to handle the Chiefs speed, I think, better than anybody. And then I'll have Bucks overs Chiefs D tomorrow. And Ian will join me also on the Full Press Chiefs podcast episode to preview the game that'll drop on Friday. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Braden Holacek 9. And I probably don't tweet as much about Mahomes as other teams, but I'll retweet whatever I need to just to get my my 2 cents in there, I guess.
So Ian, on top of Full Press coverage Bucks, why don't you let us know what's happening all across Full Press coverage?
Well, before I do that, I would like to kindly request that when the Buccaneers and Tom Brady win, that we all reconvene here next week, so I can brag to all of you about being the only one that was right. But if you do not want to do that, you can follow me on Twitter, of course, at IGLEN31. And over at FPC Radio Live, we're doing some Super Bowl previews tomorrow and Friday morning. You can find us also Sunday, early morning, afternoon, as we, myself, Kyle, and I'm hooking Braden up now. He doesn't know about it yet, but he knows about it now. We're going to be previewing the Super Bowl Sunday morning. And of course, just check out all the stuff over at fullpresscoverage.com. There's an entire Super Bowl section. You'll be able to check it all out. So just getting excited for game time. It's almost here.
And, you know, Full Press Coverage Packers will be supporting, tweeting all that out at FPC_Packers. For your co-host, Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. Ian loves hearing about that. It's free. And especially this weekend, this whole week, there's so much content. You can get all that written content, all the podcasts, access the Full Press Radio Network, which will be, you know, going all the time, but of course during Super Bowl weekend. Access to all that is free, again, on the free app, the Full Press Coverage app. So again, download that now. Jesse, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Man, I don't know what these guys are talking about this weekend. It's go Pack go. It's off season time. So just joking. Good luck to both you guys in the Super Bowl. Hopefully it's a great game. And
I look forward to watching it. So enjoy.
Yeah, I suppose next time we convene, we will be fully past the 2020 season, completely in the 2021 off season. So for this final episode of the 2020 postseason, we are here at the Full Press Packers Pod.